Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome back to the Pack a Day Radio Show. Reminder that we've got the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis coming up next from 9 to 11. Geronimo Allison, former Packers wide receiver, is going to be joining at 9:20 a.m. today. Plus, Vegas College Basketball Championships. Let's go. It's the Slam Dunk in Las Vegas. National contest. Winning is easy. Just download the free Odyssey app today. Log in and listen to The Fan or any participating Odyssey station. Listen each day for a minimum of 1 hour to your daily entry, prizes, tons of prizes, big prizes, travel and accommodations for four to Las Vegas, and $5,000 for each person to fund the ultimate viewing experience for the first two rounds of the College Basketball Championships. Download the Odyssey app and listen to The Fan today. And now, we are being joined by the one and only Peter Bukowski, Locked On Packers, and of course, The Leap as well. You can find him on social media at Peter_Bukowski. Peter, my friend, how are you doing?
I'm getting $5,000 for this appearance, right, Andy?
We'll talk about that offline. Hey, here's what you can do. You can listen to the Odyssey app for an hour every day and be entered to win.
All right, we'll put
in a good word for you.
You might get in trouble for that one. Like I'm not getting Nepo money here. Like someone else out there is going to get the money. Don't worry, everybody.
No, that is if Peter Bukowski wins, I will put another $5,000 out there for somebody else to win. I promise you. All right, Peter, we've got a lot to talk about. Let's start with Championship Sunday. I'll let you go in any direction you want. Any key takeaways? Any controversial plays that you're upset about? How did you feel about that day yesterday?
I was a little disappointed in the early game just because I thought the Commanders could give them more of a game than they ended up giving them. A couple calls here or there, like I'm finding, Andy, and I don't know if you're experiencing this at all, but maybe it's just like the basketball brain is warped my perception of everything. But I just, like, I used to joke with the Celtics Locked On host that it seemed like every basketball game just came down to shooting variance. And it was like, okay, well, every game is just going to come down to who shoots better on threes.
Yep.
And in this whole postseason, it just seems like whoever turns the ball over less or conversely creates more turnovers is going to win. That just seems to be how these all go. Now, I know that the Chiefs-Bills game did not go that way, but there's some officiating things that, you know, contributed to that. So that's part of this is just like we feel so away in the moment that I don't think always is borne out by history. Like, I don't think there was that big a gap between the Packers and the rest of these teams. They turned the ball over three times, in part because of the injuries that they had, in part because I don't think they were as ready to play as they needed to be. I think there are a number of reasons for that. But turnovers is just such a crucial part of this. And the ability to sustain drives was another part. I mean, both of these games involved how many 10, 12, 14 play drives. It was the only way the Commanders were going to score. It was the only way the Chiefs and Bills were going to score. If you don't have an offense that can do that, you're going to struggle in the postseason. And I think that was part of the problem for the Packers. A couple weeks ago, Andy, Tom Brady was doing the game. And he mentioned that I think it was the Vikings game, or was that a night game? Doesn't matter. He said the Packers don't have a detailed intermediate passing game. And I thought, what a damning thing for Tom Brady of all people to say.
Right.
And it's so true. Like when they need 8 yards on 3rd and 8, what's the call? What's the call, Andy? Like they don't have one. And I think every other high level team has an answer to that. They need to find their answer.
And it's such a weird thing for them not to have an answer for. And I could have told you in years past under Matt LaFleur, they would have the play where they would go, you know, trips on one side. They would run two guys basically vertical, run a slant right behind it. And again, I get the NFL has evolved and they've taken away some of those plays and things. But they used to have like very specific things that worked in those sort of situations. And it didn't ever feel like they had that play. And it was even going back to that run where they had like five consecutive games of 30 points, which wasn't that long ago. It was right before the 3-game losing streak that they were scoring 30 in every game. Even when they were getting some of the explosive plays, it never quite felt rhythmic. It never really quite felt like they had some of those situational, situations, for lack of a better term, down to where they needed them to be. And it never felt like they had those. And I think that is a huge issue with what happened with Green Bay and why they weren't able to sustain drives and come up with those big moments when they needed to, especially against Philadelphia on those had to have it plays. They didn't have anything there. So I'm right there with you, Peter. I don't disagree in any way, shape, or form.
I think too, when I was watching the Chiefs and Bills at the end of the game, particularly, how many times did they run that little fast to the flat play with the running back, mm-hmm. where you know you're getting the perfect coverage and you just sneak the running back out? I was like, is that something that you can even do with Josh Jacobs? Does he have the wheels to make a play like that work? And that I tweeted it out during the game. I was like, this is where someone like Marshawn Lloyd can be a boon for the Packers to create explosives on plays where you throw the ball behind the line of scrimmage or you throw it a yard down the line of scrimmage. How many times did James Cook or Isaiah Pacheco or the game-sealing play to Samaje Perine? It's a running back creating an explosive and creating it with scheme, really, more than anything else. And then in the case of like the James Cook 30-yard run that sets up the game-tying touchdown, that's just James Cook being faster than everybody else. And so I think having someone like Marshawn Lloyd, like if you don't have explosiveness at that position, you're just not going to down-to-down be able to win getting 4 or 5 yards a pop. You have to have some running backs that can create those explosives. Like what was the – I think Bill Huber had the stat that the Packers yep. did not complete a pass on third down to a running back for a first down all year. That's impossible, Andy. That's statistically impossible.
Literally was just going to bring that up. I was going to ask if you saw Huber's article. So this is what it was. So on third down this year, the Bills had 9 first downs on passes to the running backs. The Commanders had 6 first downs. The Eagles had 9. The Chiefs had 13. And again, we saw a couple, huge ones to running backs. The Packers had 0 completions to running backs for first downs on third down this season. That, again, that's an impossible statistic. It should not exist. It should not even be fathomable. Yet here we are. You would think at some point on a third and, 8, you get a check down to a running back and they pick up a first down at some point. It doesn't feel real, but yet here we are. I trust Bill Huber's reporting and research on this one. According to Bill, none of them. It just doesn't seem like it should be possible.
And some of that is, I think Jordan Love wants to make every throw. And that is something that I think they need to look at this offseason. And I know this is something you wanted to talk about, so let's get to it. The checking it down to your legs. I think that the injuries... And I was saying this about his numbers against the blitz and pressure. So much of what he's able to do is take 5 steps back or 5 steps back into the right at a 4 o'clock angle and make a throw. He couldn't do that for most of the season. And it's not a coincidence that in the second half, he went 7 games without throwing an interception. That's when he was healthy. So the legs part of this, the mobility part of this, I mean, Patrick Mahomes scored 2 touchdowns. Every quarterback in the final 4 uses his legs as a weapon, and his team uses his legs as a weapon. I mean, Andy Reid called counter bash with the quarter with Patrick freaking Mahomes
yep.
In the low red zone, and it scored a touchdown. So I don't want to hear any of the they paid him and they got to protect the asset. No, no. In the postseason, in these big spots, that's what you need. In the big games, that's what you need. And if you go back and watch, and I know you have, but if you go back and look at Jordan Love in the first half last year, I think he had 4 or 5, not just runs, 25-plus yard runs. And he is athletic enough to make plays with his legs. I remember in the Seahawks game in the preseason in 2023, he made a couple runs, and everyone was just like, Jordan, what are you doing? Get down. Stop that. But he can and is willing to run. I think he had a lot of fun playing from the pocket last year, proving he was a pocket passer. The second half last year, he didn't have to because everything worked. Matt LaFleur called every right play. The guys ran every right route. He had protection all day, and he's just playing pitch and catch out there. There were a number of times against the Eagles, and I less as I went back and watched it, but I think 2 or 3 times at least where he could have and probably should have checked the ball down to his legs rather than trying to make a throw. The most glaring one was the one where he had a lane rolling yeah. to his left and just at the last second hucked it at Emmanuel Wilson and just sort of Jordan, what are you doing? You can't do that. Just take off. And even if you only pick up 5 yards, fine. It's better than nothing, which is what you got.
We're being joined by Peter Bukowski of Locked On Packers in The Leap. You can find him on Twitter at Peter_Bukowski. I love that you bring up that play. And I think there's actually two plays in this game the Eagles-Packers game that you can look at, which is exactly what we're talking about. And I do wonder how much his overarching injuries affected his ability and want and desire to run this past season. But you sort of have to navigate that. There's a running play he had in that game where he looked great running, so it didn't feel like that was a major issue. But your exact example of the play to Emmanuel Wilson, where he's got a rushing lane and for some bizarre reason just goes sidearm craziness to an unopen Emmanuel Wilson. There's another play too where we talk about, you know, just finding the running backs. The play where Romeo Doubs got hurt, where he throws that jump ball up to Romeo Doubs. He's stepping up. Josh Jacobs is in the flat, chilling wide open, and basically doing jumping jacks on the side. He's going to pick up probably at least 20 yards on the play if he just gets his eyes down and finds his check down. And it wasn't even necessarily a check. He's on the sidelines, and he's out there in the flat, again, wide open, going to pick up big yards. And instead of taking that play to Jacobs, and you could tell Jacobs, like, he doesn't really show that much emotion on the field. You could tell he was very frustrated he did not get that ball after the play. And instead you throw a jump ball, double coverage to Romeo Doubs. And it's, again, trying to go for that big play. Maybe Doubs could have come down with it, but the efficient play in that situation was certainly to go to Jacobs, and Love just didn't find it.
Yeah, and you do wonder how much of that is the injury, right? Like, I don't know the answer. Like, he was not making those mistakes last year, and that's part of it. And I thought, I really appreciated what he said, what Jordan said at the end of the year, because he was asked about under center play action, and you might have even asked him about that. And he was like, you know, it's something we'll look at. We're going to look at all of this stuff. And I think him being honest about that, and just saying, you know, we're gonna go back and see what worked and what didn't. We're gonna keep what worked and try and figure out some new things. That's gonna be part of the evolution of this offense. I had Aaron Schatz on Locked On Packers before the year, and he offered a word of caution on Love and CJ Stroud and a lot of these guys who come in year one and play really well. The reality is, if you come in your first year, you play great. In year two, you're probably not gonna take a big step forward. You may even regress, because the chances of any player in a given year playing great is low. And so when you're as good as Jordan Love was, especially in the second half last year, I think there were some perceptions that maybe he needed to be at that level to justify the contract, all that stuff. I think there's so many reasons to be able to explain some of the issues that the offense had in big games early in the season when Love was not 100%. That I'm kind of just not worried about any of it, Andy, to be honest with you. Like, I think the offensive infrastructure is really good. I think the players are really good. And I think the coaching is really good. I think they're going to figure this out. And something like, hey, Jordan, just like, if you want to take off and run, like, go ahead. Yeah. I think that is something that you can actually coach, because I think Jordan wants to be a playmaker. He wants to use his feet and make throws first. But then, hey, if it's there, just be decisive and go. And to empower him to do that, I think Matt LaFleur has actually done a really good job of that. And if anything, in the second half, I feel like it was Jordan Love being a little bit more conservative than he needed to be.
And one play too, just to kind of go off of that, that I think they could immediately start using Jordan Love's legs. That we know that they love that play, Peter, where they've got usually two players in the backfield. Sometimes it's two running backs. Sometimes it's a running back and a receiver. They motion one of them out to either the right or left side, where they have two blockers in front of them, and they can throw that little swing pass to the outside. They can hand it off. So you're basically just counting numbers on this play. But I can't even begin to tell you how many times that if the swing pass isn't there, and like then you need to just make that into a read, where if he doesn't hand off that ball and he just keeps it and goes, like, he's picking up 5-10 yards easy almost every single time, because nobody is honoring him that he's going to keep that ball, and they're just diving low and going right to the running back. And especially in some third and ones, fourth and shorts, whatever, like, he's going to have that all day. So there's just got to be some ways that they work that into the offense. And again, maybe didn't because of the injuries this past year, but I think that's probably some low-hanging fruit. We're being joined by Peter Bukowski, Locked On Packers in The Leap, again at Peter_Bukowski. And Peter Bukowski, is it your birthday today?
It is.
Happy birthday, my friend. I did not even... Actually, I take it back. This is exactly why we had you on, to celebrate your birthday. So happy birthday to you, my friend. And here, we got you a present even. Your present is that you get to pick one Packers free agent that they can go out and sign this offseason, and they're going to go do it. So we're going to segue beautifully to that. Peter, who is the free agent of your eye that you want to see Green Bay attack this offseason?
Khalil Mack. And I said this on the X Machine the other day. Brian Gutekunst tried to go out and get Khalil Mack the first time when he went to Chicago. And it would have been a Reggie White-like move. And now he has a chance to get him in his Julius Peppers, almost the exact same age as Julius Peppers was when he came. And it was interesting, Brian Gutekunst mentioned, hey, look, it's I wouldn't want a player who's on the backside of his career. But he said multiple times during that answer, it depends on the player. And I think the fact that he was in the front office when Ted Thompson made the decision to get Julius Peppers, and the fact that Julius left the Packers, went to Carolina, and had an 11-sack season at age 37, like, I feel like Khalil Mack is that kind of player. Like, the bar is different for Hall of Fame players. You can bring in an older player who's a Hall of Fame caliber player and say, look, 4 or 5 years of Khalil Mack is better than 4 or 5 years of Josh Sweat, even if you're getting the decline of Khalil Mack on the back end. I think that is a totally reasonable gamble to make. The only other one that I was really considering here is Devontae Adams, a very similar situation, and for all the same reasons. I mean, I think you look at what Larry Fitzgerald was late in his career. He had 100 catches twice after the age that Devontae Adams is right now, and that's with some pretty questionable quarterback situations. Had 100 targets after that with Josh Rosen and Kyler Murray. So I think Devontae Adams is someone whose game would age magnificently. They'd have to find a way to get him and Jaden Reed on the field at the same time, because I think Devontae in the slot is probably where you'd want him a lot. Yep. As he got a little bit older. But to me, it's Mac, because I just think those guys are harder to find in the draft. They take time. Even if you look at this class, I think there's some really appealing pass rushers in this class. All of them are going to need work. Like, the Packers are just not in a position to grab a guy who is polished and has upside at 23. And this is the problem with constantly drafting in the mid-20s, is you don't have an opportunity to draft Jalen Carter. And so you have to make some of these trade-offs. I am fine, frankly, with Brian Gutekunst making the let's bet on the upside trade-off. But that means having to go out at times and, I think, be a little bit more aggressive. I think this is a perfect opportunity. Khalil Mack wants to come, you know, have a chance to win a title. Frankly, I think his best, his most appealing option might be to stay in L.A. and play opposite Jared Verse. I think that would be a nightmare for teams. I really hope he doesn't do that. But if it's my birthday, so I get to pick. So I'm taking Khalil Mack.
It is a birthday miracle. We're, again, talking to Peter Bukowski. It is a birthday miracle because the episode today, Peter, Pack a Day, Khalil Mack is a perfect fit for the Packers. We agree, Peter Bukowski. Khalil Mack is my choice as well. And Devontae Adams was actually one that I did a couple days ago as well, that I kind of broke down the exact same things that you did. So we are actually in lockstep with the host of the Locked On Packers podcast.
Wow.
I know. It's a birthday miracle. Peter,
I'm gonna have to take it back.
I know, right now I'm questioning everything. What do you got coming out, and what are you working on this week? What do you want to plug on the way out here?
We got the newsletters out today, free newsletter. So for anyone that wants to complain about paying for content, free newsletter on Monday, talking about the gap between the Packers and the Eagles, some of coaching news, and please go check out The Leap. Jason Hirschhorn has been all over coaching intel. This cycle was all over coaching intel last cycle. He's got another piece coming out this week that is going to be all over, even more coaching intel. I don't think there's been anyone on the beat who has been better with getting these little nuggets and tidbits about the coaching staff than Jason has been. So please go check out The Leap newsletter, Locked On Packers, of course, Locked On Sports Today, all the good stuff.
We agree again. The Leap has been fantastic, especially with some of the coaching stuff. And as you mentioned there, it is free to go check out today. So make sure to do so. Peter, you're the absolute best. We'll definitely do it again soon. Enjoy your birthday. Celebrate the heck out of it. And can't thank you all enough for all that you do. I appreciate you telling my friend.
Thanks, Andy. Appreciate it, man.
You bet. Appreciate you. Follow him at Peter_Bukowski. When we come back, we're going to be going to the phones to get those phone calls into the Nicolet Law Fan Talk and Text Line, 414-677-1250. Again, how do you feel about this Super Bowl matchup? How did you feel about the games yesterday? It's the Pack-A-Day Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. I'll get you later.